Welcome to my show, Midwife Talks. I'm Lindy Casey, retired midwife. I discuss anything and everything, but mostly women's health, crunchy stuff, and birth stories. Crazy baby names. My first memory of a name that I thought was weird was when I was a kid. We were looking through an older neighbor boy's high school yearbook and we saw a girl with an unusual name. Well, it was unusual to us. It seemed to roll off our tongues. We were little Anglo-Saxon kids living in a little desert town, and most of our neighbors had ordinary names like David or Mary or Kathy, paired with Jones and Wood and Bailey. This name seemed exotic, and in typical little kid fashion, we repeated it out loud, and we screamed it, and we shrieked it, and then we adopted it while playing Monopoly. When someone landed on a property we owned, we sing-songed that name. Iona, Iona, Iona Snediger. Poor Iona. It's not even a weird name. But to us, at that time, it was. That chant persists to this day, more than 50 years later. If I could persuade one of my retired siblings to play Monopoly with me, I can guarantee one of us would sing-song that name. I guess it does sort of vaguely sound like I own it. But come on, really? Iona, if you're listening, I am super sorry. She still lives in that small town, though she's married now, so her last name is different. In this episode, I'm going to dive deep into weird baby names. Prepare to feel your bias. Expectant parents obsess over what to name their baby. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, though I am, that what seems to be happening now is the equivalent to making a clickbait TikTok video to gain lots of views, only it's with your kid's name. And yet, the popularity of a name is really subjective. In one ethnic group, a name could be super ordinary, and in another, it might be incomprehensible or even offensive. We all form mental images of who a person is based on their name. It's human nature. Shakespeare said, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And while that might be true, if it was called a snout scratcher, you may never take a sniff. Because of that, a name is important. It's your label. It's often your first impression. It conjures up feelings and ideas in other people's minds. Sometimes it neatly slots you into some perceived group. Believe it or not, there are rules in place that restrict what names you can give your child, and it all depends on where you live. Unfortunately, some of those restrictions rely on a human being deciding if the name is acceptable, and they too have their own biases. For instance, derogatory or obscene names are banned in California. In Connecticut, you can choose any name as long as you want, but it can't be for fraudulent or nefarious purposes and does not infringe on the rights of another person. In Nebraska, you can't even imply objectionable or obscene words or abbreviations. But in Vermont, you may use trademark names like IBM, diseases like anthrax, and obscenities. But they highly recommend against it. Most states allow diacritical marks, that's those little marks over or under some letters to indicate the pronunciation, and hyphens, but some don't. Most require the name consist entirely of the English alphabet with no numbers or symbols. There's an implication that to process names with foreign characters or symbols would be problematic administratively. In fact, Utah even spells out that using marks not found on a keyboard would make applying for and receiving a birth certificate more laborious. Whenever I see rules in place, I figure it had to come into being by one of two ways. A paranoid and frightened person imagined someone doing something offensive and wanted to prevent it, or someone actually did do something offensive, so a rule was made. I'm guessing those rules about names came from a combination of these two ways, with a little secretarial laziness thrown in for good measure. So what does a parent do when they want to give their kid a really unique name? They choose something out of the ordinary, or they get very creative with the spelling. Back when I was a kid, society was scandalized when Frank Zappa named his kids Moon Unit, Dweezil, and Diva Muffin. But long before that, Bill Lear, the guy who started Lear Jets, he named his daughter Shanda Lear. Get it? Chandelier? Even as recent as 18 years ago, when Gwyneth Paltrow named her daughter Apple, people were shocked. Oh, funny people from the past. That ain't nothing. Back in the 1970s, there was an actress named Michael Learned. Yes, a woman named Michael, which at the time seemed very odd, but it inspired my own sister to give her daughter the same name as a second name. People have been trying to come up with unusual names since the beginning of naming. That's how a lot of names evolved. An ordinary name was given a new spin, another emphasis or spelling to make it unique. The more popular a name is now, the less likely it will be in favor next year. The history of names is ancient. In fact, no one really knows the origin of most given names. However, archaeologists think that the earliest names probably had a meaning or association to the individual. It's thought that during periods of prehistory, name pools formed within a culture or tribe. Parents would then select from the existing collection of names rather than invent new names for their babies. I suppose the evolution of those names happened when there weren't enough names to go around, or they were changed in little ways to distinguish different people. University of Michigan evolutionary biologist Mitchell Newberry says, quote, "Think of how we use millions of different names to refer to people, but we almost always use the same word to refer to baseball," end quote. Newberry said, "For words, there's pressure to conform, but his work showed that the diversity of names results from pressures against conformity. We want our kids to stand out. We want them to be perceived as unique. Remember that your name is often the first impression someone has about you, and all of their experiences go into creating an idea of who you are. If your name is unusual, you might think that they're starting with a clean slate. There would be no preconceived notions about what sort of person that kid is. You'd be wrong." Can we all agree that the name we choose for our baby is intended to carry them through life? We don't want them to be teased on the playground as a child, and we want them to have the freedom to do whatever they want, successfully, as an adult. But could we be saddling them with a name that pegs them as undesirable for future career choices? Name bias is a discriminatory act that involves a negative judgment or preference for a person's name. In job recruitment, a candidate's name affects the hiring decision through either conscious or unconscious bias motives. Taking into account a candidate's name as a reason not to hire the person is a prejudiced action. So, name bias is a type of color and culture bias which results in assumptions about someone's identity based on their name. It's usually rooted in color and culture, gender, or age bias. Resumes with names that are traditionally Black, Latinx, or Asian often get less attention from recruiters and hiring managers, for example. The remarkable thing is that quite often the recruiter is completely unaware of their bias. They just know they prefer one candidate over another. More and more companies are using technology to remove identifying factors, such as names, from resumes and applications to minimize this type of bias. It's not just the name itself that can seem unusual, it might be where the emphasis falls. For instance, Jamal has emphasis on the last syllable, while Kevin has emphasis on the first. Even though neither name is now found exclusively in one ethnic group or another, there's a perception that Jamal is Black and Kevin is white. Does that matter? I mean, who really cares? It used to matter a lot, which is why companies remove names from resumes. They want to get rid of those name biases. In 2015, then UK Prime Minister David Cameron said, "Do you know that in our country today, even if they have exactly the same qualifications, people with white-sounding names are nearly twice as likely to get callbacks for jobs than people with ethnic-sounding names? Is the solution to name everyone white-sounding names? I don't think so. I'm more of a mind that if you want to name your kids something creative, go for it. It will hopefully dilute that bias." Early in my midwifery career, I truly believed that kids named something unusual would have no chance in a normal life. They'd be ridiculed and limited. And then along came Condoleezza Rice, and my opinion changed. Here, then, are some of the most unusual names I could find. Some have some background, and some just stand alone. Weird names is a weird subject because it's completely subjective. What sounds odd to me might be perfectly normal to you. Like this. Iceland has a naming committee which requires names to be spelled and conjugated in Icelandic. So when a girl named Harriet Cardew, whose father was from the UK, applied for a passport, she was told she couldn't get one because her name didn't work with the language. She's officially registered as Stulka Cardew, or Girl Cardew. Pardon my pronunciation, and please don't jump on me over my choices here about what's weird and what's not. In 2017, 12 girls and 6 boys in the United States were named ESPN after the sports network. That same year, 10 girls were named Yo-Yo. Naming your baby after illicit drugs isn't that unusual in my experience either. Cocaine, marijuana, and cyanide are just a few. Once, a lady from another non-English-speaking country had her baby with me and my midwife partner. She wanted to name her baby something very American and asked us if we thought, I think it was Harold, was a good name. I couldn't have cared less, but Kay tried to talk her out of it. She wasn't successful. Since then, I've delivered quite a few Harrys, and I would guess Prince Harry has affected that. One of the things I did in Nevada was metabolic screening on newborns. That's that heel stick test to determine if your baby has any problems that could be corrected through diet or other means. That's an oversimplification, but you catch my drift. Anyway, a couple had a little boy with another midwife, and for some reason, they came into my office for the metabolic screening and to fill out the birth certificate. Maybe their midwife was out of town. Their newborn was somewhat jaundiced, and I cautioned them that he needed to be seen by a pediatrician. I poked his heel, got the blood samples for the newborn screening test, and then I grabbed the birth certificate draft. In those days, it consisted of several sheets of paper with places for birth info, parents' info, statistical info, and the baby's name. These days it's electronic and includes more data. When we got to the baby's name, they said, Pumpkinhead. I was kind of taken aback. I had them spell it to make sure. Could their baby's jaundice have influenced their choice of names? I mean, he was sort of orange. When the vital records clerk got the birth certificate at the health department, she called me. She urged me to get them to change their minds. Well, that was awkward. They stuck to their guns. Shortly after that, they took the baby into an emergency room because his jaundice had worsened, and the doctors there gave them crap over his name, too. Right about here is where you might expect me to say he went on to become some famous dude or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. No. He and his sister, who was named something equally unusual, petitioned the court to have their names changed when they reached 18. I'm guessing Pumpkinhead's childhood could have been rough. Because for a time I worked at a birth center that catered almost exclusively to Mexican women, many of them undocumented, I ended up going to the hospital with a lady who couldn't speak English very well at all. The problem that had sent her to the hospital was resolved and she went on to deliver naturally. After the birth, two nurses were talking and one mentioned the placenta. This was all very casual and just in passing. Then one of the nurses asked the new mother what she was going to name her baby. The mom first conferred with her sister who was there in the room and they spoke rapid Spanish. Then she asked the nurse to repeat the words she'd said earlier. After a little back and forth, the nurse figured out what she wanted her to say was placenta. The patient nodded happily. Si, si, she said. That was the name she wanted. In Latin, placentia means pleasant or pleasant place. The new mom probably thought placenta was an English version of that. She named her baby Placenta. Another lady had her baby, and when it came time to fill out the birth certificate draft, she said she wasn't sure how to spell the name, but it sounded like this. And then she spoke an unusual series of just sounds. I wrote it down phonetically and broke it into syllables, and together we figured out a way to spell it that made her happy. The trend to take an ordinary name and spell it using unusual conventions is becoming more common. Spelling Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-E-I-G-H-K-A-H, can only lead to a lifetime of the person having to spell their name, or worse, explaining how to pronounce it when it's read, all the time. It's important to remember that a huge component of names is cultural. In an article named Ghetto Black Names by Rhett Lindsay, he gives a list of names of his peers. The link is in the show notes, and I urge you to read it. While to my white ears some of these names sound foreign, they're common in predominantly black communities. These are a few of them. Latavia, Shaniqua, Lakeisha, Lashandra, Quantavia, John Shika, DeAndre, Bonquavius, Vontavius, Taekwon, Quantavius, Ladarius, Keyshawn, DeMonte, Shaquan. He adds, within the tech world, most candidates who identify as being of Asian descent usually do not go by their birth names when applying to positions. They take on more American or, quote, attractive white names, end quote, instead to be displayed on their resumes. Rhett Lindsay closes with this message. One thing that's universally agreed upon is that all parents want their children to be successful. So I ask, are we doing our black children an injustice by naming them these unique, uncommon names? Does it close doors that they normally would be able to walk through? Again, maybe the answer is to make unusual names accepted by not giving a flip what someone else might think. But then, are you performing a very disturbing social experiment on your child? What do you think? You can text me at 715-575-9420 with your comments and questions. By texting my number, you understand and agree that I may read and respond to your message in a future episode. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. I appreciate every one of you. And remember, if you want to support what I do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. If you have anything you'd like to add to this subject, you can be part of the conversation. Go to anchor.fm/midwife-talks and click on the message button. That's anchor.fm/midwife-talks. I'll see you in the next episode of Midwife Talks. Links to more information about the topics covered in this show can be found under the podcast tab.